It is such a blessing to be with you all today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. We do have folks that are traveling. We do have folks that are sick. But I am so thankful that we have you all here and we have the capabilities for those who aren't able to be here to watch online. It has been mentioned already that all month long we've been talking about what you see on the screen, being thankful. You see, the term that we have come Thursday, as George was mentioning earlier, is Thanksgiving Day, right? But really, as Christians, what is it about? It's about thanksgiving. Every single day of our lives, and I thought George, in fact, he named two of my points in his lesson today, or in his talk as ninth man, but he did such a great job from the psalm and reminding us that God's mercy endures forever. But what we have to do every day is understand that every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day. Not the dressing, not the turkey, not the ham. Yes, we're thankful for those things. We're thankful we have the opportunity to gather as family, but God. God Almighty, that is who we sang about this morning. That is who was addressed when we went to Him in prayer. We read from His Word this morning. We are here to entertain Him in worship. It's all about God. As I've challenged you all month long to think about being thankful, to challenge you to be thankful, and by the way, when I say you, I mean me. I want to ask you just to yourself, where are you now? Are we a thankful people? Are you a thankful husband? Are you a thankful father? Are you a thankful wife? Are you a thankful mother? Are you a thankful employee? Are you thankful children? Are you thankful grandparents? Are we thankful Christians? I said this to go with the theme of everything I've talked about this week, but I draw it all from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ethan read to us from verses 16 through 18, but verse 18 especially there, Paul reminds us, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will. He made us. He designed us. He put in us a will so that we can be thankful. So that we will live a thankful life. So what did I do? I challenged us, right? At least one prayer a week to not ask Him for anything. And by the way, there's a lot of prayers you lead during the week where you can ask Him. But one prayer a week to just thinking. Well, I got to thinking, you know, hey, I've been saying that, but I showed that. So what I want to do right now is go to the Father in prayer. Our kind and loving and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this avenue of prayer. That through Your Son, Jesus Christ, we can stop everything we're doing and come before You with thanksgiving. Father, thank You for hearing our prayers. Thank You for answering our prayers in the way that You know best. Father, thank You for the design of Your church. Thank You for bringing it into existence. Thank You for making a way through Your Son that not only can we be forgiven, but we can be added to this great institution. Thank You, Father, for the Azalea City Church of Christ. Thank You, Father, for the men who shepherd this flock. Thank You, Father, for those who are willing to serve here. Thank You, Father, for those who are willing to give of their means to help with a budget that is about Your will.
Thank you, Father, that you bring visitors to us. Thank you, Father, that those visitors become members. Thank you, Father, for the babies that are here. Thank you for the children that come before us and we see and they're so happy. Thank you for reminding us in your word that we are to be converted like these little children. Thank you for your holy Bible. Thank you that we do not have to journey this life lost. We can find our way. Thank you, Father, for telling your Son it's time to go to earth, to bleed, to suffer, to die, but to be resurrected so that we can be forgiven. Thank you, Father, that through baptism we can contact that life-saving blood. Thank you, Father, for promising us the hope of heaven. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you that your mercy endures forever. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I love 1 Chronicles 23. We're reminded in that great passage that we need to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. I want you to read with me 1 Chronicles 23 beginning in verse 25. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to His people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also to the Levites, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine flour for the grain offering, with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening." If we're going to stand every morning and stand every evening and thank and praise the Lord, then we need to remind ourselves of what Pharaoh asked about in the book of Exodus: who is the Lord? In Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, we have these words. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God, that's Moses turned aside, God called to him from the midst of the brush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So there was the task, right? He tells Moses, "I want you to go before Pharaoh." You know how the story goes. I reference it all the time because of this point. Pharaoh, after Moses' first encounter in Exodus 5, 1 and 2,
this is what we have written. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." You see, when God addressed Moses in the burning bush, Moses was afraid to look upon Him. He was in fear, all of those things. It was a very just amazing, miraculous scene. And you could imagine the astonishment that Moses had. But God told him exactly who He was. He reminded Moses, "I am the God of your fathers. The same one that you heard about from them, I am He. I am the I am." And that's who you need to tell Pharaoh said, let the people go. But as Moses goes there, he goes in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asks the question, "Who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord. I'm not going to let Israel go." How do I stand every morning? And how do I stand every evening and praise and thank the Lord if I do not know the Lord? Or how about this? If I have forgotten who the Lord really is. You see, as George read to us from Psalm 136, it reminds us there of what God does, who God is. And it reminds us, in case we forget, in all of those verses, His mercy endures forever. He is not the God that's waiting to crush us. He's not the God that's waiting for us to stumble. He's not the God that's longing for us to mess up. He's the God whose mercy endures forever. With that being said today, sometimes we forget to be thankful because we take that for granted. Sometimes we forget to be thankful because we get wrapped up like Pharaoh did in our own thrones. Sometimes we get wrapped up in life. We get wrapped up in money. We get wrapped up in food. We get wrapped up in family. We get wrapped up in sports. We get wrapped up in hobbies. We get wrapped up in the world and society, social media, whatever it may be, and we forget who God really is. So I've taken it as my mission today to remind us. He's Elohim, which means strong one. He's Yahweh, which means self-existent. In other words, He doesn't need anyone else. He's Master. He's God. He's the Almighty. He's Lord. He's Father. And so much more. So today, I want to spend the time we have in this lesson, lest we forget, or in case we have forgotten, of what God really is, who He really is. The first thing I want to remind you, so that we will never forget to stand every morning and stand every evening to thank and praise Him, is number one, God is all-powerful. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Don't you love that verse? "Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You." Colossians 1, 15 through 18. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him," and don't miss this, "and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. All things were created by Him, but all things were created for Him." Everything we have and everything we are comes from God. All good and all perfect gifts come from above. Now, all the things that we possess, we might say those are mine. You know how a child is, right? Don't take that toy. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Why are the terrible twos terrible? Because for 2 years of our lives, we've given, they cry a little bit, we give it to them. I mean, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but, you know, they get a dirty diaper, they cry, we give it to them. They need a bottle, we give it to them. Everything, and then all of a sudden by two, they start understanding the word no. That's not yours, that's not yours. The world doesn't revolve around you, and they rebel against it. Well, guess what? Sometimes we don't get out of those terrible twos. And we say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I want it my way, right? As I've been saying. You rule, as Burger King has told me, right? Yeah. I can have it my way. I rule. No, you don't. And no, I don't. It's not about us. There are a lot of folks this morning, and listen, I love the fact that there are a lot of people around us in our circles of influence that are godly-minded people. And they're seeking out a relationship with Him. But many of them chose to go to a place today that make the worship about them. Whether it's through entertainment on a stage or whether it's through some spectacular play or whatever it may be. I can't find God if it's all about me. I've got to get me out of it and remember how powerful He is. He spoke existence into existence in 6 days. How many times have we heard that story? How many times I've read Genesis 1? A lot of times in my life. A lot of times. But I try to never let it get lost, just flying through, that everything we look around and know, or we can look through a telescope and know, or people can get in a spaceship and know, everything we know, God spoke it into existence in 6 days. That's being all-powerful. We're reminded in Scripture by God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, there is nothing impossible for God. Paul reminded us from a prison cell as he's writing a letter to the church at Philippi that because of him, and because of my relationship with Him, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I don't know what it takes to prick our hearts or to prick our thoughts or to allow our minds to, and our minds can't wrap around it now. We can't wrap around how powerful God is. But I don't know what, maybe it's the ocean for you. Maybe it's a beautiful sunset. Maybe it's outdoors in a nature hunting. Maybe it's out fishing. Maybe it's just going to a place like the Grand Canyon. Or maybe it's getting on Google Earth and just looking at all the things that we can look at or looking at some space or whatever it may be. But I want us to spend some time reminding ourselves today and really every day as we try strive to thank Him in the morning and thank Him in the evening. As we stand to do that, I want us to remember how powerful God is.
The greatest moment of power, though, as fantastic and amazing as it is, that He spoke everything we know in existence into existence in 6 days, He raised Himself from the dead. You see, when Jesus went into the grave, He was dead. He had not passed out. He had not fainted, nothing like that. He had not lost so much blood that He just couldn't move or function. He was dead. When they pierced His side, out poured blood separated from the water, which I understand happens at the time of death. They did not come and break His legs. Why would they break their legs? So they couldn't breathe anymore. They did not come and break His legs. Number one, it was a prophecy for Him not to have any broken bones. But they did not break His legs because He didn't need any more breath, because He was dead. He went into a grave dead. But as we sang about earlier, He arose. Only Yahweh can raise Himself from the dead. And because of that moment, we too do not have to taste the second death. That's enough right there for us to stand up every morning and stand up every evening and thank God for who He is. But in case we need to remind ourselves of who is the Lord even more, yes, He's all-powerful, but He is also all-holy. God is so holy that it is mentioned 2 times in the Scripture that He is holy, holy, holy. If you understand in the Hebrew language, if it's repeated 3 times, it was the superlative. So in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is called up to heaven and he is there in the presence of God, the call for him to answer, to become a prophet, you remember the statement, "Here am I, send me." He sees God, or the presence of God, but there are the seraphim that are flying around, remember? And they're chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They're saying there is nothing holier than Yahweh. But in Revelation 4 verse 8, the 4 living creatures there in that verse did not rest day and night. You know why they didn't rest day and night? They stood day and night chanting, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They were chanting that without sleeping, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. God is set apart from us, and that is a great thing. God is so holy, we cannot grasp how holy He really is. I've used this illustration a lot, but I have some water that I drank out of before I came up here, and I'll drink out of when I get done to re-wet my vocal cords. But it says on there, purified water, right? Again, it had impurities in it, and it went through a purifier, but let's just pretend they got it out of some pure spring somewhere, and it was nothing living in that spring, or, you know, no fish in it, no anything, and it was as pure as it could possibly be. Well, as soon as I opened the lid of my purified water and one dust particle that I can't even see gets into that, it's not purified anymore. It's not 100% pure. But here's the point I want you to understand. If we can't understand 100% pure, but our God is 100% pure and holy. There is nothing about God that has any impurities in Him. Let this sink in today to the deepest depths of our heart. Let it sink into our minds. Let it sink into our souls. Every one of us, if we have reached the age of accountability in this room today, those who are watching, we are imperfect. We are sinners according to Romans 3 verse 23. In fact, we are in bondage to sin oftentimes in this walk of life. This world, Satan, who is the prince of this world, before we know God, he is our master. But then on the other side of it, there is God. We've got the corruption of this world, the corruption of us as sinners, being in bondage to sin, being in bondage to Satan. But then there is God, who is perfect, who is holy, who is love. And despite the fact He is so holy and set apart from us, He still loved us so much that He sent His Son to make us holy again. Our holy God, He wants you and me to live eternally with Him. Once we understand how powerful He is, how holy He is, and once we understand how holy He is, and despite the fact how unholy we are, He still wants to have a relationship and give His power and bestow it upon us. Would we ever forget to stand every morning and every evening and thank Him for all that He's done? But the final point this morning, He's all powerful, He's all holy, He's all knowing. Psalm 139, we really need to read and study the whole chapter, but we're not going to take the time to do that, but I am going to read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 139 reads like this, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You know, it's those things that really hurt our minds if we think about them too much. Our minds are finite. We know definite. We know beginning and we know end. God is infinite. There's never been a beginning, and there will never be an end.
What do you mean there's never been a beginning? He's always existed. We cannot wrap our minds around that. It's not humanly possible. He's always existed. He existed before the earth. He existed before the universe. He existed before the angels. God exists outside of time. But we exist inside of time. So we can never fully grasp the fact that God is eternal. Let me put it to you this way. If our mind represents, if a Coke can represents our mind, okay, and we were, the contents of that Coke, 12 ounces, right? If we had a Coke can and we had 12 ounces of Coke or water, let's say, in that Coke can, then God's mind is the oceans of this world. You see, He is so far wiser than we can ever be. It'd be foolish to think that we could fill up our cans with God's mind and think we've got it all figured out. We can't figure out everything about God. The Bible reminds us He's majestic. It also reminds us there are some mysteries, right? There are some things that we're going to have to wait to eternity to get to fully understand. God's mind is so amazing. He's so knowledgeable. He is the Almighty. And because of that, I cannot grasp inside of time God's eternal existence. But you know what? He knows everything about us. He knows our needs. He even knows our wants. He knows our struggles. He knows our heartaches. He knows our pain. He knows our loneliness. He knows our desires. He knows even our sins. Our God knows just what we need. If you put it all together, we serve God that is all-powerful, that is all-holy, that is all-knowing. Imagine, if you will, and I'm just going to say whichever president you admire the most, whether they're dead or not. If you admire the current one or anybody, you again, picture who it is. They walk in our doors here. None of us are going to get access to go up to them and just have a casual conversation. We're not going to be able to go hang out with them. We're not going to be able to go and just, you know, play a game of golf or fish or whatever. Why? They're the President of the United States. They've got all these Secret Servicemen around them. They're going to be protected. We've got to keep them safe. They don't know us. But the most powerful existence today, the most holy existence today, the most wise and knowing existence today, desires you to come live with Him, to carry on a conversation with Him, to spend time with Him. The same God who is holy and eternal, the same God who made the billions of galaxies. He is the same God that knows the number of hairs on our heads. He is the same God that desires a relationship with us. He is the same God that is not willing that any should perish. He is the same God that provided a way out through His Son's blood, which we contact through the waters of baptism. He is the same God who is calling us home. Why would we not stand every morning and every evening and every single day and thank Him for who He is? Today, maybe you've had some walls that need to be torn down. Maybe today you decided that, hey, those walls are gone and there's no separation. Today I want to show Him my thanks. How can I show Him my thanks? Well, if you're not a child of His, you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins today. And He'll welcome you with open arms. Today, if you've not been living the life that you should, if today you've not been expressing, maybe you got wrapped up in life, you've gotten wrapped up in sin, you've gotten wrapped up in whatever, and you are separated from Him, whatever it may be, the all-powerful, all-holy, all-knowing God of existence desires you to come home to Him today. And you have the opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.